She Did It Her Way podcast episode 193, part 4 of the 6-part series, What to Do When You Want to Start a Company but Still Don't Know Where or What to Start.
Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, a collective of interviews with top female entrepreneurs from around the globe who have done it their way. These women are disruptors, savvy, courageous, confident, innovative, decisive, unconventional, and humble. Our ladies have proven business models, have taken risks, and have failed only for success to follow. Join us as they share their stories, behaviors, habits, mindset, thought processes, and what it is like to be a woman who means business. And now, here's your host, Amanda Bolin.
Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the She Did It Her Way podcast. I'm so excited that you guys are here. I just want to take a moment and acknowledge each and every single one of you listening to this podcast. That means that you are hungry and craving for more. You're craving for development. You are seeking that information because maybe you want to start a business that you haven't started yet and you want to learn about how to actually start a business. Or maybe you've recently started a business and you're continuing your journey on figuring out how do you tweak, define it. Or maybe you've been in business for a while and you're listening to this podcast. But honestly, regardless of where you're at in your journey, I just want to say thank you for tuning in every single week. And before we kick off to today's episode, I do want to remind you guys that there are, I believe it's going to be 9 days at this point when this podcast airs, left for you to purchase your early bird general admission ticket and to be able to bring a friend for $100. So the early bird general admission is $197 and on October 1st, and afterwards it goes up to $397. And also on October 1st and afterwards, the bring a friend goes away. So definitely take advantage of that. I've already shared so much with you guys. If you haven't checked it out, make sure you go to shedidherwaypodcast.com/summit. You can get the full speaker lineup along with the agenda so you can see exactly what we're covering. Again, it's the basics of building a business. And so teaching you how to price for profit, your marketing plan, understanding and identifying your sweet spot, knowing what legal entity, all the basics, regardless of the type of business you're starting, whether it's online, a brick and mortar, or a solopreneur service business. So you guys should definitely be there if starting a business is on your goal list, whether by the end of this year or you want to do it in 2018. Time to get educated, my friend. Okay, so that was a little long-winded, but let's do this. So today's podcast episode is what to do when you want to start a company but don't know where or what to start. Now, this can be overwhelming. I talk to people all the time, and there's usually two different camps that people fall in. One is they want to start a business and they know exactly the business that they're starting, or two, they know they want to start a business but not really sure exactly what business, or they have so many ideas, you don't know what business to start. So if that is you, or you're raising your hand and you're like, yes, that is me, then this podcast episode is for all of you guys. I'm going to start with, let's say that you're in the camp of, yes, I want to start a business, but I'm not really sure where to start because I have so many ideas, or I don't even know what would be good for me. So I will tell you that this entire process, the main thing that I want to get across is to be patient with yourself. The cliche saying that Rome was not built in a day is so true. And these businesses that you see on the internet, that these brands that you see that are mainstream, they've been around for years. And oftentimes we, including myself, I used to think that if I'm just hearing about someone, that they had an overnight success. And it isn't until I start diving into their journey that I realize, oh my gosh, they've been doing this for like 5 or 7 years. And so being patient and knowing that in the beginning stages of building your business, you are going to go through iterations. And you may start something and do it for 4 or 6 months and realize that you have to massively pivot. Let me tell you, friend, that is okay. And pivoting does not stop the more mature your business becomes. The pivoting might not be nearly as big or feel as big as it does in the beginning. So just stay patient and know that it is part of the journey. So if you're starting out and you don't know anywhere of what business you want to start, first thing that I recommend is write down a list of your ideas that you have. Start with you and your experiences. What are your strengths? What do you bring to the table? We talked about being aware of the things that you do and that you are good at in a previous episode. Also, think about your frustrations that you have. So a lot of times entrepreneurship is about solving problems. What is the need and what is the problem you're fulfilling? And most likely, if you have a frustration or problem with something, then other people do too, in which then once you identify an issue or problem, it then goes to discovery and learning if more people have that same problem as well. So thinking about your frustration. So my example is 2012, I quit my job. I started out doing independent consulting, really just floating out. I was on a rowboat by myself in the middle of the ocean and had a desire to want to connect with other women and learn about their journey and implement those processes into my own business. And voila, that is the podcast. So the podcast came out of a need because I didn't feel and couldn't find any podcast geared towards the female journey of entrepreneurship. And surprisingly, or not surprisingly, other people had the same need as well. So really thinking about some of the things that frustrate you, and then how could these frustrations potentially be improved? And what is the problem that you could solve, or what is the need? And again, when you're going through this process, don't judge yourself. Just keep writing and don't hold back. Our brain tends to trick ourselves and go into the negative thought pattern and always think about what we're losing or missing out on versus what we could gain. So if you find yourself going through writing these ideas down and then your brain creeps in and goes, who do you think you are? Why are you writing this? There's no point to write this. You're never going to take action on it. Trust me, those thoughts are real. They don't go away, but it's managing that relationship with those thoughts to know and to take tiny steps over time so that you can build up that confidence with yourself. So when those voices come in, keep writing, acknowledge, and don't judge yourself as you go through it. So when you make this list and you write down the ideas, look at which ones excite you the most, which ones that can really fuel that momentum in the beginning. Because if you're not excited in the beginning, you'll never be excited later on. And it's really taking that momentum of excitement that can carry you through and push you to move forward and get through some lull times that you might have. Circle your top five of the list of ideas. And even if you only have three ideas, then you have three ideas. But then the next step is to rate your ideas. And then start with the idea of one and explore that. And then when you're in the exploratory phase, this is where the iteration comes through. So remember that the iteration is a process. Think about all the products and brands and services people out there constantly making it better. For example, let's say Pat Flynn comes out with a online course or product. He puts it out year one. Year two, he's going to look back, reflect, and say, what worked, what didn't, what else do I need to add? And then boom. And then year over year, it's compounding and it's getting better. Entrepreneurship is a long-term game, and it is important to continue to be patient, but yet still very persistent. So it's all part of the process. And again, it'll take time for you to really see what works, what doesn't, what you like and what you don't like. And in the beginning, it may feel like you're all over the place. That is okay. You're figuring it out. You are trying to see what works, what doesn't. What have you found that really resonates with people, with your business idea? Also, if you are in a corporate job and a corporate position, look at some of the skills that you're currently doing in that role. And then could you possibly do the same thing, but do it on your own and build a company yourself? Really thinking outside of the box and allowing yourself to have that space to do so versus allowing your brain to speak negatively or put that doubt in your head. So let's say that you've landed on one of the ideas that you want to run deep with and that you are going to start with for the beginning. So one of the things, let's say you have this idea, but you don't have a business name yet. That is totally fine. Do not get hung up on having to create the most perfect business name in the beginning, because sometimes, and I'm saying this from personal experience, if we get caught up on step one and that, like, we can't get through that, or let's say it's coming to name a business, if we can't get past the fact that, okay, we don't know the exact business name, then we never really execute on the things that come after it. So what I like to do in these types of instances is create a placeholder. Just pick a name for the sake of picking a name, knowing that that isn't the official or final name. It works as a placeholder. It is almost this mental trick that then allows me to continue moving forward. This has happened when I've come up with speaking sessions. So the one time I was asked to speak to a group of college students, and I wanted the name to be perfect, and I kept thinking about it. What did I want the name to be? When in reality, the name didn't matter as much as the content that I was serving up and facilitating the workshop at that moment with those students, that those things mattered most than the perfect title. So I put a basic title name in there, and then I just started focusing on the content. And eventually, once you get the content, then you can go back and revisit and figure out the name. So what I do is just keep focused on the momentum, ride the momentum. If you find yourself getting stuck on momentum of like writing out business ideas or coming through and walking through like how would you execute this, like keep going with that. And if you find yourself meeting any sort of resistance, then figure out how do you move past that and just keep going. It doesn't have to be perfect. Another thing is when you figure out ultimately your business and you are set on it, choosing the right business entity. So there's things, whether it's a limited liability partnership or it's an LLC, and an LLC, basically what that does, and I'm not claiming to be a lawyer, but I had an entity that was an LLC at one time before switching over to an S corp, is different LLCs have different purposes. They have different tax advantage, yes, in that capacity, but they have different tax system as well. And given upon your individual situation and where you're at, you might require a different entity. But you can still get an EIN, which is an employee identification number, and set up a business banking account without necessarily having to choose an entity at that time. Reason why people are probably most likely encouraged to get an LLC is that the LLC legally protects you from your personal assets. So it separates your business assets from your personal assets. So if something were to ever happen with your business and someone came to sue you, they could only sue under the LLC, but they would not be able to get a hold of your personal assets. Now, I know there's a lawyer probably listening and going, well, that's not true. So again, I'm not saying I'm a lawyer, but I will tell you the basis of it and the very basic premise of an LLC is to protect you from your personal belongings. And then when you get into S corp and C corps, they're different they're taxed differently, they're set up and flowed through, but just making sure that you have the correct entity set up. And then also things to think about, like if you don't want to pay for a bookkeeping system, there are wonderful spreadsheets out there. Just Google them. You can get them in Google Docs. Keep it really basic. In the beginning stages of my business, what I would do is I would actually, before I even set up a business bank account or anything, I just designated a credit card to be the number one credit card for my business expenses. And then every month when I would get the statement, I would take the statement in paper form and I would go through, and I had a Google spreadsheet that then had it broken up into travel, meals and entertainment, software, those like five different categories. And I would just manually punch it in. So I knew how to categorize every single month, and it was just really easy for me. Now I've moved over to an actual software accounting system, which I've talked about before, which is FreshBooks, and it does all of that myself. I do invoicing, I work with my contractors that I hire, my virtual assistant. Through there, they track their time, and then that's how they submit the invoices, and I pay everything through there, which is amazing. Now, the benefit also too of working full time while you're building your business is that the money you make with your business can be reinvested back into it to help you grow. Another thing that is really important when you figure out your business idea is making sure that this business idea, this passion, has a clear path to revenue. What is the revenue stream and how does your business make money, whether it's a product or service? How are you pricing it appropriately to make sure that you're building in your taxes and your cost of goods sold? So take, for example, a makeup artist who is doing events for the wedding. And let's say you have to buy actual product to support, you have to use you buy the product as a makeup artist, right? And then you use the product on your client's face. Makes sense. But making sure that your prices that you charge your clients reflect the fact that you have to buy product, or that maybe you are spending a half hour traveling to and from, for a total of an hour you're in the car for this client, and then the actual time that you're there. So really thinking through those things to when you come up with your business. And to go on to the revenue stream as well, so that you can actually, you know, exactly the types of products or services that are generating revenue within your business. So then you can actually do a projection goal for, okay, next month I'm going to bring in X amount of revenue through these different types of things. So for example, with She Did It Her Way, there's revenue through podcasting sponsorship, there's revenue through the Building a Business breakfasts that I do every month in Chicago. There's revenue through the summit. And then as now I've built on, so next year I might add a few things, like really focus on speaking gigs. But the goal is to identify the revenue streams and then place amounts to it, projecting what you are anticipating to bring. And then backing in and saying, okay, well, actually, how does this happen and how do I reach that goal? If you don't reach that goal in the beginning, that's totally fine. If you, it's not, you don't want to get discouraged about not reaching a goal. You want to celebrate the fact that you are tracking it, right? Like maybe you've never tracked it before and you are, this month you're going to track it. Like celebrate the fact that you are tracking it and get excited about that as well. Another really key thing to do in the beginning of your business as well, once you know where you want to start, is to create a one pager. So not, I remember, oh my gosh, in college, we would create these elaborate business plans. I mean, I remember one entrepreneurship class, it was an amazing class. Our business plan was about 20 pages long. And that's, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that, but in the beginning, again, to gain momentum, create at least a one pager for a business plan. Clearly identify your product or service and note that that might still be a work in progress, because as you change and iterate, it will also evolve with you. Identify how you're going to market your product or service. Is it going to be through social media? And if so, is it through LinkedIn? Is it Facebook? Is it Instagram? Where do your people hang out where you need to promote and advertise your business? And then identify the revenue breakdown. So pulling from the thing that we just talked about with identifying your revenue stream and getting some of those basics on there as well. If you haven't listened to the 6-part series that I did a while back with Cordova Pleasants, we did 6 podcast episodes, and this is one of my favorite part series that I've done. And I always recommend people start there, because in this 6-part series, we cover everything from how to write a business plan, which, let me back up to give you some context. Cordova was prepping for an entire year before she launched her business and had approached me and said, hey, it would be a really cool idea to do sort of this behind the scenes as I'm building my business, and I can teach people what I've learned and what's working and what's not. And so we sat down starting at episode 128, if you want to go back there in the archive, starting at 128, and then within the following 7 episodes, there are more interviews with Cordova, but we talk about how to write a business plan, learning to love your problems as a business owner, the 30-day business report card. So she had launched her business, and then 30 days in, we did an update, and she talked about her sales, she talked about revenue, the goals that she had set. And then we also, another episode, we talked about how to write a marketing plan that works, the ups and downs of building a business, and then creating community and overcoming fear, because fear is real, especially when it comes to entrepreneurship. You guys, it does not go away. I promise you that there is fear and resistance. The thing is that I believe that as you practice becoming more intimate with these thoughts, these feelings, you start to become more aware of yourself. And so you can anticipate when these things happen. I know a lot, like a limiting belief oftentimes is, well, I remember thinking when I worked at Target and I saw people doing the entrepreneurship route and they were online marketing and all this and adding and creating a tremendous amount of value for people. I'm like, okay, well, that's cool, but I don't think I'm not worthy of that. And in reality, that's such a lie that I was telling myself. And I wonder if that is what anyone else listening on this podcast goes through, because you can create any life that you want. And I believe it's it is 100% possible by putting in the effort, putting in the work, being persistent, and being having patience with it, and knowing that if you can commit to that, then anything is possible. And that's why I say to you guys that if you want to start your business, what are you waiting for? Sooner rather than later. Because the sooner you start, the sooner you're going to start experiencing the first year, the second year, the third year. And then you're going to get into a flow. And then you're going to understand what your product and service really is. And then you're going to grow it. And then it's going to be more fun. But if you don't start now, if you don't start sooner than later, then it's when are you going to do it? And so as I got a little off track there, I just got really excited about that because the sooner you start, the sooner you start. But also the hardest part of getting started is getting started. And so just starting somewhere and going and using that momentum. So again, what to do when you want to start a company but don't know where or what to start. Start with your strengths. Start with some of the frustrations you have. Start with your experiences. What do you have to offer? What really lights you up? What really excites you? And then some immediate steps that you can take. Again, moving through the business naming thing, you can always come back to that. But understanding, choosing a correct business entity, and then start researching and getting educated on the steps to creating a business and what to expect, especially in the first year. And today's mini interview is with Katie Lord, who is speaking and talking about marketing at the She Did It Her Way Summit. So make sure you guys stay tuned for that. But before we get into her interview, I do want to give some love to Acuity, who has come on board for the summit. And I love working with their people at their headquarters. And I love their product and service. You may have heard in a few podcast episodes, I'd shared another calendar scheduling tool. But once I discovered Acuity, I'm all about Acuity and the smartness of it and how much it has brought efficiency into my business. So you can do a 14-day trial with Acuity. Just head on over to the show notes for this podcast episode, click the link, and then you'll be directed for 14 days free of Acuity scheduling. All right, we have Miss Katie Lord with us, and Katie is going to be covering, she is one of the speakers at the She Did It Her Way Summit, and she is going to be covering all things high-level marketing, all the things that you need to know when you're starting out as a business owner when it comes to marketing. So Katie, welcome to the podcast.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, these are little snippets and sound bites kind of showing us what attendees can expect from the summit. So tell us a little bit about yourself, and then let's go into some of the things that you're going to be covering, and we'll talk about a tangible takeaway, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, so a little bit about me. I'm really a startup for startups. I focus on design and marketing for early stage companies and really help them make their ideas happen. I get my background. I was previously a marketing manager at a company called SMS Assist. So they are now a $1 billion company. So I hope that I had a little bit of influence on helping them achieve that goal. And what I'm doing now is really focusing on design. I do branding and identity, user experience design, and websites.
Nice. So talk to us then, like, what excites you the most about when people or like the listeners are on their journey of starting a business? What are some key things? What are you going to be covering at the summit?
Yeah, so I plan on covering some of the basics of marketing. For an example, what is the difference between advertising, marketing, and branding? Do you happen to know this off the top of your head? Oh, I don't mean to put you on the spot.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think I do. Okay. Yeah. Do you want me to share my take on it? And you can tell me if it's true or false. I'm happy
sure,
to.
Sure. Okay. Go for it. Yes.
So branding, marketing, advertising. I'm going to go with branding is your voice. That's the overall look and feel of your product or service, whatever that is. And then the marketing is sort of the plan and understanding your target market and what does it look like to execute it. And advertising is a means or a way to share with the world and tell more about your story. It's more of like the how.
Yes, you got it.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Okay. But I don't, you're the expert. That's why you're speaking on it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I take it a little bit more simply. So for instance, advertising is we sell candles as an example.
Yeah.
Marketing is we sell lights. And then branding is this light makes me feel loved. So that's my real simple way of explaining the difference between the three. But for what I'll be focusing on, I'll be focusing on the marketing aspect of this. And I think there's a few things that I'd like to cover. For instance, kicking it back to undergrad of the four P's of marketing. So price, product, promotion, and placement, and covering those. And then we'll go through a little bit of an exercise for identifying your target market and defining what your potential blue chip clients could be for your target audience. And then one of the takeaways that I'd love to have for your conference is a template for how to build your own marketing calendar with suggestions on how to execute your marketing strategy, whether it be e-blast, social media, or actual tangible advertising.
Yeah, well, sign me up. I'll definitely be taking notes, right?
Yes.
I always believe a student of learning. So I'm excited because it's always good to learn anything more, like how to do something better and to be able to bring that to the summit. Well, that's awesome. I'm super excited to have you. I can't wait to have the attendees be able to interact with you and just take away all the knowledge and information you're going to give us about marketing.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm excited to, if I can help anybody out, then I know my job is done. But I do have one key takeaway that people could start working on now, like ASAP.
Ooh, yes.
And what you can start doing now is start finding, it's called your Dream 100. And what that is, for instance, my business, we focus on design. So I have my Dream 100 of agencies or startups or consultants that I just love. And what that does is help me do a little bit of research, see what other people are doing, how they're selling themselves, how they're selling potentially their products, and kind of gives you a head start and like get some inspiration going. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I love it. That just made me think of anyone who takes advantage of the 100 list, or what is it called? One more time. Say it.
It's called the Dream 100.
The Dream 100.
Yeah.
If anyone does the Dream 100 and comes to the summit with their 100, there's got to be a special prize for that.
Oh, yes. I'll have to bring a little giveaway for that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Katie, thank you so much. Where can people find out more information about you? If they're coming to the summit or if they can't make it, where can they connect with you?
Yeah, so my contact info is really easy. It's just katielord.com, or it's katie@katielord.com. You can find me on Instagram at katielordinc. And I'd love to hear from anybody if they have any questions or want to get the conversation started early.
I love it. Okay, awesome. Thank you, Katie, so much.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the She Did It Her Way podcast. Did you like this episode? Head on over to iTunes.com to leave us a rating and a review. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to check out SheDidItHerWayPodcast.com, where you can subscribe to our email list so you can receive the inside scoop on our latest episode released each Monday. Now, do us a favor and go make it a great week.